Learn. Yes. Okay, we're learning now. We're in the middle of learning Hilcha Shabbos. Let's just do a few ideas. I'm taking everything out of the Sefer, Simchas HaShabbos from Rabbi Hollander. What? The Erev? What Erev? I mean, I don't know. I didn't mean that. I did not. I'm sorry. I really, honestly did not mean it like that. I really didn't. I honestly did not mean it. Okay, we're learning over here the laws of Kabbalah Shabbat. Rabbi Sai. Okay, Rabbi Sai, Rabbi Sai. Okay, please. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Okay, we're discussing, we're learning now, taking a break from Sefer Chassidim, we're learning over here some laws of Shabbos. We're in the middle of discussing the laws of Hadlokas Neiros. We are in the middle. Last week we ended off last week with the topic when a man marries a woman and the woman has a different minhagim regarding hadlokas neiros to what her husband is familiar seeing. Husband, a man comes from a family where his wife lit for each child in the family, and his wife only wants to light two candles. She says, "My mother, I come from a family, we have 10 children, and my mother only lights two candles. I never heard of this meaning that you light for each member of the family. Who wins? So we learned last week that it is accepted. Many of the Gedolei Yisrael say that it's a davar pashut, that when it comes to hadlokas neiros, the wife follows her family minhagim. She has no obligation to convert, no obligation to abandon her custom of what her mother did, what her family does, and follow her husband. And in fact, I came across something very interesting, that there are three areas of halacha where the wife prevails. And it's Rosh Tevos Chana. Chana Ches Nun Hei. Ches stands for Chala, Hafroshas Chala. In the laws of Hafroshas Chala, there are many minhagim. There are many halachas. And not everyone agrees upon the halachas. There are different shiurim, there are different procedures, different techniques, different chumras, kulois. And if a husband says, "In my family, my mother was machmir to do it this way," and the wife says, "Well, in my family, we're not so machmir," or just the opposite, the wife says that we're machmir to do it one way, who wins? The wife wins. When it comes to Afrosh Aschala, she wins. What's the second halacha? Hilchos Nida. Nida. Chana. Chana, the nun, is nida. Hilchos nida. If there are various halachos or minhagim which a husband wants to do or not do, and the wife says that my mother, in her family, this is what they do in her family, she prevails. And the third that we just learned is hadlokas haneres dehei. So chana, ches, nun, hei. Ches is chala, nun is nida, hey is halacha saner. In these three halachas, the custom is that a man has to follow the custom of his wife's family. Okay, next shayla. What about lighting electric candles? Electric neiros. Well, let's take a step back. What about lighting shemen zayis, olive oil? Most of us today, most people today, they light regular paraffin, what we call wax, not really called wax, the chemical paraffin candles. Is there a hiddur for a person to light shemen zayis, olive oil? Chazal say that we know when it comes to Chanukah, in the Menorah, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was shemen zayis, zoch kosis lama'ar. So we do have a precedent when it comes to the lighting of neiros, there's a mila of lighting shemen zayis, and there are multiple mamori chazal that discuss the milas of olives and the crushing of the olives. Does that extend to the lighting of ner shemen for Shabbos candles? So it's not so simple at all. The Mishnah Berurah is very, very makel. The Mishnah Berurah says that when it comes to the lighting of candles, the ketakana is that it should be light. There's no inyan whatsoever of lighting ner shemen. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say there's no inyan, but it's very, very makel. The ikar is that there should be clear, there should be illumination. A person should be able to see what he is eating. A person should be able to see his surroundings, should not hit himself, hurt himself, injure himself, and get into a fight with his wife, and should enjoy the food by seeing what he is eating. Thus, if paraffin or any other type of light is bohir, is clear, adarabah, it's even better than using ner shemen. So that's why most people for many years has never not been an issue whatsoever, because lighting using regular candles, in fact, is better, it's clearer. The candle produces a better light than ner shemen would produces. There's no odor, there's no issue. It's better, and therefore halacha lemaisa, it is 100% permitted to use regular candles. You do not need to be to use. There's no hiddur in using ner shemen. However, others disagree. Others hold that since we do find ner shemen to be something which was used in the past, even though it may not be as clear and provide the same degree of illumination as our candles, there is still a hiddur to use ner shemen. Some people, what I read over here is they have a pshara. They light two candles ner shemen, and the remaining candles, the other candles, they light regular candles. So they'll have, let's say, a candelabra, and they'll have two candles. Two will be shemen zayis, and the other candles will be from the regular candles. Question: is there a hiddur in which one a person should light first? The person is lighting different sets of candles, ner shemen and regular candles, and after he lights the candles, he makes the bracha. So should he light last the ner shemen, so that the bracha is closer to the ner shemen? So this question was presented to one of the Gedolei Yeshivos, and he says no such thing. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever, the order of the candles. That's what we learned last week. There's no inyan when you light the candles of going to the right. When it comes to Hanukkah candles, you start off on the left and you move to the right. There is no such thing when it comes to lighting of Shabbos candles to the direction of the candles. You can light the candles in any direction that you wish. There's no halacha that should be put in a row. There are candles that are lit in any order, in any configuration, and likewise the order. There is no hiddur in lighting one type of candle before lighting the other candle. It does not make any difference whatsoever. Now the question is, what about electricity? Electricity has the advantage that it's really good light. The light that we gain from electricity is much better to the average person than the illumination you are going to receive from lighting a candle. So the question is, why don't we, Bizman Hazef, only make a bracha on electric lights? Now today, it's not really an issue anymore, because today it's hard to find in this person's home incandescent bulbs. The bulbs that we have today, it's a whole shaila, is it even called the lighting altogether, because it's gas? Okay, it doesn't even get hot. The new technology, the new LEDs, they're not even yatse ledespoy. It doesn't even get hot, and it's just, it glows. I'm not familiar with all the technology, but the Paiskim say that we have a major question. The person would turn on the LEDs today, it's not likely that he will be considered to be chil Shabbos de'oraisa. In the olden days, when you lit an incandescent bulb, so then there's a filament which becomes burning hot, red hot. And when the filament becomes red hot, that's like a gacheles, and that seemingly would be an iser de orais of do on Shabbos, and thus that would be seemingly be called a hadlaka for the laws of Shabbos. So why don't, if you have an incandescent bulb, why don't we purchase incandescent bulbs in the house, and that would be the ideal thing if we have clear light to give us illumination in the house. So this is an old question, and there are basically three reasons why we shy away l'chadchila from using incandescent bulbs for ner shel Shabbos. Number one, there's a mitzvah, the bracha, the words of the bracha, l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos. The word hadlaka has the connotation that you start with nothing and you create fire. When you turn on a switch, can you really say that's called a maisa hadlaka? Is that called that you are creating a new fire? The nature of electricity is where the electrons flow through the pipe, through the wires, and reach a filament and allow it to become red hot. It's not the classic form of hadlaka. In hadlaka, you start with nothing. You create a new fire. There is electricity that is continuously supplied in the station, wherever it's coming from. Having it flow through, just releasing the circuit by allowing it to continue into the filament and having it illuminate the filament, this is a discussion if this is what can be called technically lahadlik. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Okay, another issue is it called a ner? Lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. A ner by definition has three parts. There is a container, receptacle, there is fuel, and there is a psila. In an incandescent bulb, what is the ner, what is the psila, and what is the fuel? So the psila would be the filament, the receptacle would be the bulb, and the shemen, the fuel, would be the electricity. The problem is, but the electricity is not stored in the ner. The word ner in Chazal is a receptacle, and in the receptacle there is fuel. In your tube, your glass tube, are you storing fuel? You're not storing any fuel in your tube. The psila is the filament, which becomes red hot. And the fuel is being supplied by a continuous flow from Con Ed. So is that your classic definition of a ner? Not really. Third problem is that the fuel seemingly is being continuously recreated. It's the, in other words, in a regular classic candle, all of the fuel is stored in the container. Electricity is continuously created. When the electricity you're going to use to light the bulb in 10 minutes from now doesn't yet exist. The generator from where it is created has not yet created that.
That's every second. AC motors 30 times a second.
Whatever the zman is. But if you have to light candles, the candles have to be lit and they have to last until the time when you can eat and you can actually benefit. It's a dover shaloi boli olam. The source, the power, the fuel is a dover shaloi bala olam. How can you make a bracha right now? Asher kiddushan b'mitzvah b'mitzvah lahalik ner shel Shabbos, when the fuel that you're going to use to provide illumination for your Friday night meal has not yet even come into this world. What? A battery is much better. Very good. A battery, because the battery, all the powers is. And the battery will be much better. So these are the issues. Okay, so number one, is turning on a switch called a Maise Hadlaka. Do you have what qualifies as a ner? A ner has three parts. Do you really have all three parts in the classic sense? Number three is the fuel is a dovar shaloi ba lo'ilam. Now these are questions, but so what? Many paiskin, there are many things all along with the place that are very, very makel, and they say that you can l'chatchila make a bracha lahalik ner shal Shabbos on an incandescent bulb with no issue whatsoever. Many paiskin, many gedolim surely pass that it's banging. You have to incandescent bulb, so you have to go to the store and buy an incandescent bulb, so you have a real incandescent bulb. Okay, if you have a fluorescent is a machlokes. Some say it's okay because there is a filament in the fluorescent bulb. Contrary to popular belief, there is a filament in the fluorescent bulb which becomes red hot, which ignites the gas to give illumination. Rabbi Belsky holds that a fluorescent bulb is 100% the same thing as a incandescent bulb because there is a filament which becomes burning red hot. Now, what about the new things, the new technologies, and there are a lot of different technologies which I'm not familiar with. Those are much, much more problematic. But still today, you can definitely go out and buy an incandescent bulb. They still exist. You can find them on Amazon, on eBay. You can get these bulbs, and you can still use them. And if a person does not have Kindles, it's not safe. You can definitely make a bracha, yesh al milismach, to make a bracha, to first turn on the turn on like we do. You first turn the light on, and then you make the bracha, and you are yoytze the mitzvah of halakas. Now you can probably do this even in a hospital. They're not going to prevent you in a hospital from plugging into the wall incandescent by a small incandescent bulb, a teeny little incandescent bulb. You put in a chandelier, a real incandescent bulb. Even in the hospital room, well, they're not going to let you in a hospital room to plug into the wall a little teeny incandescent bulb. Well, hard, they're not going to protest. Maybe they would. What? They give you, the chaplain gives you these LEDs that are battery powered. They have these very cute little LEDs that are battery powered. So those are problematic because those are LEDs. They're not real. They're not incandescent bulbs. You can think of a flashlight is certainly the best thing to do. A flashlight, an old flashlight, not the LED flashlights, that have an incandescent bulb and have battery. So the battery itself contained. You turn on the battery, you turn it on, and you let it burn out. You let it burn out.
The battery has to burn out.
The battery burns out. So that's no different than a candle. So that is okay.
One is enough.
We learned last week, Lahalik Ner Shabbos. One candle. You do not need to light more than one candle. The minute you light two is a new innovation. Zohar v'shamor. You only need to light one. And if a person uses a battery, a flashlight, with an incandescent bulb that has a battery, you're in business because the flashlight is the Ner. The case is the Ner. All of the fuel is stored in the flashlight, in the battery. It's all there. It's not coming from any other source. You have a psila. The filament of the bulb is the psila. So you really have everything. You have the Ner, you have the Shemen, you have the psila, and when you turn on the switch, you're doing a Maisa Hadlaka. Okay, so a flashlight is much better than turning on an electric switch. Because the electric switch, there you have an issue, you don't really have a good Ner, and the fuel is a davar shaloi ba le'olam. But when you have a battery, Mr. Rapport, when you have a flashlight, you have everything there in one shot, so definitely using a flashlight is definitely ideal, and you only need to light one flashlight, you do not need two, because in Ikar Hadin, the bracha is, like we said last week, l'halik ner shel Shabbos, does not say ne'rois shel Shabbos. Again, electricity is also good. You could also make a bracha. Obviously, the chatkila, we do the traditional way to light with a regular candle. However, all of the poskim say, it's very, very interesting, that every single person, bizman hazeh, is relying upon electricity when they light regular candles. Because since most of us, anyway, are not really deriving the ikatam, why we light the candles, that the person should see what he's eating. And the truth is, when you're sitting at your dining room table, you're not seeing what you're eating from the candles. You're really seeing what you're eating from the electricity. And especially when the person is not lighting at the table, they're lighting on the buffet, or let's say a person goes to a hotel, and you're lighting in the hall, you're lighting in the lobby, so you're not really lighting in the place where you are eating. So it's not even giving you ambiance. It's not even creating some type of setting. So what's going on then? So the Chaim Kanievsky, many Gedolim, they say, is that when the person lights Shabbos candles, Shav Kavana, that when you light the candles, your Kavan is not just for these candles, but it's for all of the electricity in the entire house. And thus, when you go, when you walk around in your house Friday night, you walk in the hall, you walk in your bedroom, you walk in the kitchen, and you're deriving benefit, that is also a chelik of l'halik ner shel Shabbos. So when you light the candles, the kavana should also be on the electricity in the home. Now it is a bit problematic today because these tshuvas were written when they were still incandescent bulbs. And today we don't longer have incandescent bulbs. Most of the bulbs we have today are much more high tech. These things over here on top of us, these are LEDs, they're very beautiful lights. LEDs. This is not really...
When you're lighting, someone else maybe have an incandescent bulb. The same circuitry is supplying electricity.
No, you have to do the Ma'is Hadlaka. You have to do the Ma'is Hadlaka. That's why the Chatkila person should turn the lights off first. So we said that you, from the time when you turned it on, whenever you turned it on today, the last time you turned on the lights, that was also a Ma'is Hadlaka. And now it's just you making the bracha. Okay, there are a lot of there are problems. It's not a perfect situation. There is no perfect situation. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he says that Me'ikar Hadin, a person is obligated to light a Ner in every single room of his house. Every single place where he needs light, you're supposed to light a candle. No one's going to do that. For that, we rely upon electricity. The electricity that we light in all the rooms, this is enough. You don't have to go light a Ner in every single room, even though really we should. That should be the halacha, because all the places where you need light. But for this, it's already enough. You light in one place the candles, and you have kavan that the electricity in all the other rooms should be nichlal in the bracha, and it's good enough. Bottom line, what is the bottom line? The bottom line is the minhag ha'olam is to light two candles for regular wax or paraffin candles, which provide good illumination. Some people feel they're mahader, they want to light shemen zayis. Even those who light shemen zayis, not everyone is makbid to light all of the candles shemen zayis. Just to preserve the minhag, they'll light two candles that are shemen zayis. And everything else, they light the regular candles. When a person lights the candles, he shows to have kavanah. The bracha is not just going on the candles, it's also going on all of the electricity that he's going to use Friday night in his home, in the hallway, outside, inside, v'chulu v'chulu. It should go for all of the illumination. When a person cannot...
Shemen on top of water.
They put shemen, water in the Hanukkah, we find that. That they do just to save money, to save fuel, because you don't want to burn so long. It's over practical reasons, because you don't want the candles to burn the whole night. It's dangerous. But you want it to fill up. So you put water, and then you put shemen, so it's a small amount of oil. There is a Kabbalistic thing of a putting that shemen prevails upon water, had it by Hanukkah. I don't think you have that by Shabbos. I don't think you have such a thing by Shabbos. You put water, the oil on top, that's practical considerations. It shouldn't burn the whole night for safety reasons. So a gas oven is problematic because there is no psila. The problem with lighting, you want a person wants to turn on the range. You have the range. You have an old fashioned range. I don't know if it's old fashioned. It's pretty popular still. So you turn on the range that has a gas range. Can you make a bracha? And you turn on the gas range. It's not so posh that you yaitse because there's no psila. There's no wick whatsoever. It's just gas is ignited. Where is the wick? Where is the wick? And where is the receptacle? Where is the ner? A classic ner in Chazal has three parts: a receptacle, fuel, and a wick.
The candle doesn't have a...
You put the candle, very good. You put the candle in a holder. You're saying something very, very good. If a person takes a candle and just puts it on the table, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah correctly because you're lacking the receptacle. So the potato becomes the receptacle. The potato becomes the ner. If you take a candle and you melt it onto a metal tray, you have a metal tray. So the metal tray is not a receptacle, unless you want to say that becomes the ner. Pashtus is that the receptacle, that the tray is a flat tray with no lip. If it's completely flat, if you have on a buffet and you put aluminum foil, okay, you put a thick layer of aluminum foil and you take a candle and you melt it onto the aluminum foil and it stands nice and straight and you're secure that it's not going to burn through, make a fire chas shalom on the buffet, are you yoytze the mitzvah of ner Shabbos? Well, you can't say no. You can't say that you're not yoytze, that's for sure. But are you yoytze the hiddur? Definitely not. Because lechatchila, you need to have three conditions. You need a receptacle, you need fuel that is contained, and you need a wick. A regular leichter, you have a receptacle. In the receptacle, you put a candle, and the candle has a wick. So all of the fuel is stored. If you put a candle in a leichter, so the receptacle of the leichter, that's the ner. This where you're putting the candle is the fuel, and the top of the candle has a wick. So you have all three components.
Tea lights,
you have that's the receptacle, the aluminum. The aluminum base is the receptacle. That's the nair. In that you have wax. That is the oil, and the wax has a little wick. You have the psila. A tea light has all three: a receptacle, shemen, and a psila. All three are there. A range has nothing. Where's the receptacle? There is no receptacle. There's a pipe producing, giving out gas. Is that called a receptacle? I don't know. Where is the wick? There's definitely no wick. And where is the fuel? The fuel is in the pipe. It's coming out from the street. Is the fuel
somewhere?
Is that even called fuel? It's a dover she'in by mamish. Is gas in halacha called shemen? A typical candle has a fuel which you can touch. A dover she'yesh by mamish. cave gas. There's no there's no smell. It's dangerous. There's no. I mean, they can't be. So I take it back. They can't be. I think they. In fact, they inject artificial chemicals that it should smell. Right. So you should know that you're in trouble. That there's a leak. It's very important. That should be a smell. They artificially make it smell. So you should know there's a leak. Okay, so if you have actual davar shayesh v'mamish, a gas range for Ner Shabbos is very, very problematic. To say that it's a bracha levatola, that you cannot do. Because the bottom line is, you lit, there's illumination. That's what it says in Beferish. He quotes over some of the Gedol Yisrael. You can't say in any of these situations that you made a bracha levatola, even an LED. If you put on an LED and you made a bracha, can you say to the person who made a bracha levatola? No, you cannot. You cannot make them. You cannot, because the bottom line is: did you do something which provides illumination for Shabbos, lechavod Shabbos? Yes. You want to tell me, but it's not traditional. In time of Chazal, there was something called a ner, which has a receptacle, has fuel that you can touch, and has a psila, and this has none of the above. Okay, so it's not traditional, but you cannot go so far to say that you have made a bracha levatola. Would a person be advised lechatchila that this is the way to go, that this is ideal? Absolutely not. Absolutely, this is not the ideal thing to do lechatchila. But after the fact, when a person already did this, you cannot say made a bracha levatola. So range is a problematic. When a person, let's say a woman gives birth and she's in the hospital of a Shabbos and she wants to light, a hospital will never let you light a real open flame that is illegal. They'll never let you do that. So what's the next best thing that you can do? Well, it will probably be a flashlight, to bring your own old-fashioned flashlight that has an incandescent bulb. You have all the miles. You have the flashlight is the nair. The fuel, the batteries, it's inside, it's contained, that's the shemen. The batteries are the shemen, it's all here. It's not coming from anywhere, it's not coming from the street, it's not coming from any central station. And the filament in the bulb is your psila. You turn on the flashlight, you make a brach asher kedushan b'mitzvahis v'sfon l'halik ner shel Shabbos, that's the best.
How long does it have to stay on?
It has to stay on half an hour into after tzei sakur chavim, I think.
So who turns it off?
No one turns it off. You let it burn out. You let it burn out. How much does the battery cost? This is what a Shabbos costs money. It costs money to be an Orthodox Jew. How much does it cost the flashlight? Exactly. So the LEDs are problematic. I told you, an old-fashioned. You can still buy an old-fashioned flash on Amazon. Go on Amazon. No, the 99 cents, so they don't sell them anymore. I don't think they sell them anymore. The old-fashioned flash with an incandescent bulb, I don't think you're going to find them in the 99-cent store. They're all LEDs. But if you go on Amazon, you can still find the old-fashioned incandescent bulbs for the old-fashioned flash. And you buy a double A or a double A or a single A. Not double A. No, I'm sorry. Triple A, or quadruple, 4A. Those big, fat batteries, how much do they cost? Whatever it costs, it doesn't cost that much. It doesn't cost that much. Those batteries, and you turn it on, and you let the battery burn out. If the guy wants to turn it off, because hey, he doesn't want to turn it off. But you don't have to. If you don't turn it off, it's the perfect thing. A flashlight is the perfect. A flashlight? An incandescent bulb flashlight? Never heard of being dangerous. Never heard such a thing. It gets hot. It doesn't get really hot. It doesn't really get hot. Those little flashlight, you know those, they put the two big batteries, I never heard it being a problem. That would be the ideal thing to do when a person is in an environment where they do not allow you to light a candle. Now, and if you don't have a flashlight and you want to go plug in into the wall a bulb, an incandescent bulb, will they let you do it? I don't know. I really don't know. But if you can do it, that would be the next best thing to do, to light on an incandescent bulb. Can you make a bracha on an LED light? I think not. I think you can't make a bracha on an LED light. Because it's not that, even though you have no choice, you should do it. You become the mitzvah halakas neiros, but can it be called off to go so far to make a bracha? I do not believe that the modern day poskim permit a person lechatzchila to make a bracha on the new technology, the new type of lights that we have today, the LED and the chol hanilvim olav, all of their cousins and associates, because you don't really have any classic form of illumination in the old sense of lighting a candle. If you have nothing else to do, you mechuyif to light these things the Chavod Shabbos, but not so far to make a bracha. And if a person didn't make a bracha, he doesn't have to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Oli Olam Voed. And when you do light candles, you should have kavanah that it goes for the LEDs in the house as well, because it certainly doesn't hurt. And that's going to indeed be your primary source of light.
Well, ideally, you should have in every room one non-LED light.
Not ideally, wherever you need it. I mean, you don't have to have in every single room a light. The rooms, the places where the light, where the lights are being used, that's also a chelek. Yes.
You should have one lamp at least with a regular bulb.
No, that's not advisable. You don't have to go so far. No, that's a very big chum. You don't have to go so far. No one says that. No one says that you should go so far. Even Chaim doesn't say that over here. The ikar is you're lighting, making a bracha on the candles. That's the ikar. You make the bracha on the candles, and then as a hiddur, you have kavan, all the other light in the house should be included in this bracha. You don't have to do anything more. You don't have to go buy special light bulbs for your home. That the whole house should have incandescent bulbs, so there should be a ner in every house. No one says such a thing. That's going too far.
It's very good. Okay. You have children, because you have the night lights are all incandescent.
The night bulb, what? No, not anymore. There's nothing incandescent anymore. They do not make anything new. They do not make anything incandescent anymore. Okay, let's now go to another Shiloh. Let's say you light candles. Interesting question. You have the leftover candles. The candle burns out. Are you allowed to throw it in the garbage?
No.
It's Kedusha. You made a bracha. You lit Shabbos candles. There's leftover wax. Your tea lights. Light tea lights. So the aluminum itself, the receptacle with whatever's left over, you made a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisav yumakadei shem shamayim on these items. Can you just take them and throw them in the garbage with the cholent? Is there any kedusha? So tzitzis tashmishay mitzvah. Good question. What do you do with tzitzis? Tashmishay mitzvah. You're not allowed to throw them out b'derech b'zoyin. They have to be wrapped up, concealed, where it's not, there is no disgrace. No one's going to walk out into the street, into the gutter, and see your tzitzis hanging out of the garbage can. That is a disgrace. You're allowed to throw them out. How? They have to be wrapped, they have to be concealed, and they can be put together in the garbage.
Those are just the cords.
The garment can be thrown out with Berech Bezoyon, can also be thrown out. You're probably right. I don't know. You're probably right. So what about taking, are you allowed to throw out the leftover of the Ner Shabbos, Bederech Bezoyon? Do you need to be concerned that a person will walk in the street and see in your garbage can together with filth, together with refuse, real garbage, in the same container, the leftover Shabbos candles. What? The tea lights or any leftover that it's obvious these were your Shabbos candles. Does it have to be concealed? Does it have to be first be put into a plastic bag where it's not going to be exposed? It should not be called, did not be disgraced. It should not be a disgrace. So the halacha is, it's ikar hadin, it's mutter. As Rav Meir pointed out, the mitzvah is on the illumination. It's very important to realize the laws of lighting candles for Shabbos are not like the laws of lighting candles for Chanukah. Chanukah is a higher standard. Chanukah, there is kedusha, there is a degree of sanctity on the oil, on the wick, on the ner. There is a higher degree of sanctity. There's a whole question. What in fact do you do with the leftover? What do you do with the leftover oil? What do you do with the leftover wicks? Okay, we're not getting into that discussion. But there's a higher degree of sanctity for Chanukah. For Shabbos, it's only on the illumination. Once the illumination is done, there is no sanctity whatsoever on the leftover wax, the wicks, on the tea lights. It can be thrown directly into the same garbage can where you throw the leftover waste from the food. There's no issue whatsoever. There are people, though, that say they don't feel good about it. It's a matter of feeling. How could it be I made a bracha? I said Hashem's name. It means so much to me. How could it be that I just go and I throw it in the garbage? So there's a sensitivity that they don't want to throw it directly into the garbage. They want to first put it into a plastic bag, put it separately, and then they put it into the garbage like they would do with tzitzis. And it's important. Even though it's beautiful to do that, it's important to know the halacha. Because when a person starts making new halachas, new chumras, that are not true, that's like Chava. Chava said that Hashem said you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. It's very nice. You want to be machmir. You don't want to touch the Eitz Hadas. That's commendable. But don't go write a Shulchan Aruch and say that Hashem said you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. It's commendable. It's a very nice hiddur not to throw the leftover wicks from your Shabbos candles directly into the garbage. First, you want to put them into a plastic bag so it should not be a bizoyan. That's correct. But a person still should know the ikar halacha that in truth there is no sanctity whatsoever on the leftovers and it can theoretically and technically, practically be thrown directly into the garbage. Okay, next. Okay, the next halacha. Lulav and Eshrig is there. You're not supposed to throw it directly into the garbage. That's correct. Not b'derech b'zayin. You can use it for another mitzvah to burn the chametz. Kevin, the all about mitzvah, you should do another mitzvah. But if you're not going to actually, if you're not going to burn it with the chametz, so then you can throw it out without question. But you should attempt to minimize the b'zayin. Don't take your lulav and go use it as a broom. You don't take the lulav, Yom Tov is over, so now we're going to use the lulav as a broom. Time Chazal, they use lulav as brooms. They use it as brooms. You're not allowed to use the lulav as a broom because you use it for a mitzvah. So just, you discard it. You can be thrown out, but just don't mevaze it. A lulav does have kedusha. It's a tashmisha mitzvah. What? Right, that's not a bezoin. You're actually eating it. You're actually eating it. But to use it as a derech bezoin is also. Okay, now let's go to the next. The next halacha is let's discuss. Okay, this turn the minog. Everyone knows this issue, but I want to talk about something a little bit different, and that is when do you make the bracha? Does a woman make the bracha before she lights the candles, or does she make the bracha after she lights the candles? The Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch it's mashma that the correct procedure is first to make the bracha and then light the candles, like every other mitzvah. Oyver la'asiyasan. You make the bracha, and after the bracha, you light the candles. This is what it says in the Rambam, b'feirush, and this is what the Ramah, the Mechaber seems to say. If you're careful reading the Mechaber, it's not so clear, but that's what it would appear to be the opinion of the Mechaber. Sfardim. Now let's first talk about Ashkenazim. The Ramah writes that it's our minhag that you first light the candles and then you make the bracha. The reason being, with the recital of the bracha, it is an acceptance of Shabbos. So when you make the bracha, Asher Kedushanu, you say Hashem's name, you were Mekabel Shabbos. If you were Mekabel Shabbos, you're not allowed to do melacha. You're not allowed to light a candle. It's a melacha deraisa. So we have no choice. In this case, we have no choice. We have to break the rules, and we have to first do the mitzvah, and then make the bracha. Because by making the bracha, you are accepting upon yourself Shabbos, and it's too late to do any melacha whatsoever. So first do the melacha of lighting the candles, and then make the bracha. Now, being that the Mechaber says you should first make the bracha, and then you should light the candles, you would expect that all of the Sfardim follow the Mechaber, which is generally the case. And you'll be shocked to learn that many Sfardim do not. And this one of the exceptions where the Sfardim generally follow the sheet of the Ramah, even the Sfardim, they first light the candles and then they make the bracha. They write over here, Isser Zalman Meltzer, was one of the famous Gedolei Yisrael pre-war Europe, and he was the father-in-law of Rav Aaron Kotler. He followed the Rambam. He, in his home, his wife, his family, they would first make a bracha and then light the candles. That was his minhag. So even by Ashkenazim, he was not a Sfardi. So we find over here in this matter, people have different minhagim, and it's not necessarily consistent with what we normally follow, the Mechaber and the Ramah. He cites over that he would always say that I spend the whole day, I'm involved in trying to understand the words of the Rambam. He is in love with the Rambam. If Isser Zalman Meltzer, he learned, you know, the Brisker. He wasn't, I don't know if he was a Brisker, but he...
He was one of the Talmudim.
He was a Brisker? Okay, so Talmud of Erchaim, so therefore he was... Erchaim, he was heavily steeped in learning the words of the Rambam. So he would say about himself, how could it be that if I learn the Rambam, I spend my free time studying the Rambam, I'm not going to practice, I'm not going to accept his piske halacha. I am compelled to follow the Rambam and first make the barucha and then light the candles. Now, Rav Aaron Kollo, what did he do? I don't know. He's married to his daughter, so I would imagine that he followed his Zal Melz, he followed his daughter. We know that.
His wife came from that place.
Right, so it must be that his wife followed her father. Of his Zal Melzer, must be that they first make the brach and then they light the candles. Now this comes with a price. Minig Ashkenaz, most of the world follows the procedure. Let's explain this very funny minhagim we have today. It's very interesting what he says over here, that we first light the candles and then you make the brach. Now that comes with a lot of complications. Now, do you ever see a woman light candles? Ask her, what in the world are you doing?
Then they make with their hands.
Many women, they light candles. They light the candles. And then they put their hands. And they go like this. Hocus, hocus. What in the world is this about? How many times do you do this? One, two, three. You go like this. I don't know. I don't know the art. We need to go downstairs and bring them all up here and tell us exactly what exactly are you supposed to do. Rabbi Isai, it says here there is absolutely no source anywhere for this in writing, in print, ink and paper, nowhere, this idea of exactly your hand movements. You go like this, you go like this, do you cross it? Does your hands cross one another? Or no, you just go like this. Kohanim. What? Yeah. So you hold your arms up straight. No one goes like this.
What if you run down the side of
you? Okay. It seems like there is a tradition. There is a tradition to do two things. You have to ask your wife what exactly she does and who told her to do this. And exactly, YouTube video, the art of exactly how to do it. Which direction? Right to left, left to right, your hands cross. I'm sure we'll get a billion opinions, exactly the art, but it's not in print, but there is a tradition to do two things. Number one, to close your eyes. Eyes shut. That's number one. Number two is three times. Both hands. I don't know the precise movements. I don't think anyone will tell. Everyone will give you a different opinion on the precise movements, but to do with your hands something against the naros three times. Where does this come from? No one seems to know. But this is universal. It is accepted universally. A woman lights the candles. She does two things. She closes her eyes in order not to benefit from the illumination, because she did not yet make the bracha, and she does a maisa with her hands, seemingly, now here's the point, seemingly with her hands in order to shelter her eyes from deriving benefit from the illumination, even though obviously it's not going to shelter the illumination. Big deal. You hold your hands. The illumination is going to come from. Is going to come from the other sides. It's obviously not going to make a difference. But whatever it does, it does. It's just symbolic. He cites of there Yaakov Kamenetsky. He says no. He says that he believes that the reason that the movement of the hands is not to shelter your eyes from deriving benefit from the light, because that's why you close your eyes, it was the way a woman would do something basically equivalent to the men go, this is incredible chiddush, I'm telling you now. Never heard this. It's it's equivalent to the men going to shul and reciting, doing Kabbalah Shabbos. Now, Kabbalah Shabbos is an amazing topic, which I want to talk about another time. Kabbalah Shabbos, I have here in this new publication called Kankan. Okay, there's someone put out from London, a Baba V'chassid put out in London this fantastic publication, which is called Kankan. That's what it's called. And in each volume, they have these very, very interesting, extremely well-researched topics. And one time, and in order to hook you on to the subscription, it's very expensive, is they don't give you the topic in one shot. To be continued. So once they get you hooked and addicted, you got to keep on paying. In order to get the next edition, next volume. And they're going on for many, many volumes is the topic of Kabbalah's Shabbos. This whole is a very, very interesting thing we do. We recite Friday night in the Beis HaKnesses Kabbalah Shabbos, 6 Mizmoirim. We sing the Piyut of Luchun Niranina, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Bamei Madlikin. The Shat stands from the Bima. We face one way, we turn around. Where does it come from? For how many years have we been doing this? And has a very, very rich and controversial history, especially with regard to musical instruments. The way Kabbalah Shabbos was done originally was not in shul, it was done outdoors, and it was done with music, with an organ, with other musical instruments. Fascinating, not for now. Now the point over here is, it was something done in order to do a Maisa, let's be Makabal the Shabbos. The climax of our Kabbalah Shabbos that is off the charts is where we get up for Bowie Vishalom and we turn about face to the west. Come Shabbos, come. We're coming to get you. We're greeting Shabbos. So listen to this. Rabbi Avraham Kamenetsky here, he says, is that when a woman goes, picks up her hands and goes like this, that really, he didn't say these words, but I'm adding a little elaboration. What he says is, that's really equivalent of the men in shul getting up by Bowie V'Shalom and making an about face. In shul, a man gets up, and what does he do? He turns around to the west. By Bowie V'Shalom, Ateres Bala Gam B'Simcha V'Tzola, we recite, and then we turn around. That is like the ultimate of the Kabbalah Shabbos. After reciting the 6 Mizmorim and singing the song, we turn ourselves towards the Shechina, which is in the west, to greet the Shabbos Malchusa. A woman, today, most women, don't go to shul Friday night.
Don't they turn their hands around like this or like this?
Could be. I don't know. You have to ask your wife what she does and why she does it. What she does and why she does it, and make sure she makes a YouTube video so we can all see it. Or she comes here, and she demonstrates for us. Oh, so you're saying a chiddush is that you shouldn't go like this, you should go like this, you should go like this, right? You should go like this. Maybe in Achinami, that's things get corrupted over time because most people don't know what they're doing today. And there's no books, there doesn't say anyway what to do. It doesn't say what to do. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Mechadesh, that he feels this, that women, he goes, any woman, what are you doing? I don't know. That's what they told me to do. That's what they told me to do. They told me to go like this. They told me, light the candles, close my eyes, and go like this. Wait a minute. If you don't want to be nene from the R until you make the bracha, so why are you closing your eyes? So why do you have to do both? Why are you closing your eyes and going like this? Keep your eyes open and go like this to show that I don't want to be nene from the R until I make the bracha. Why you have to also close your eyes? And if you're closing your eyes in order not to benefit from the light, so why are you going like this? I'll give you an example. Chanuk, Lulav and Eshek. You see, what do? You make the bracha first. So what do you do? So some people, they make the bracha when the Lulav and Eshek is on the table. Some people hold the Eshek upside down. How would you like if someone held you upside down? By a bris milah, I want to make the bracha on the baby before I do, so we'll have the baby upside down. We'll hold the baby upside down. Asher kiddushanim in mitzvayse v'tzivanu. By the bris, right? By the bris milah, the boil. We'll hold the baby by the legs, upside down. Asher kiddushanim in mitzvayse al hamila. Al hamila. And now we'll turn upside down and do the milah. Right? The milah is like shaking the lulav. Right? Shake. So before you shake the lulav, it's upside down. How would you like if someone held you upside down before your bris milah? Right? So that's why some people don't go for this business of taking the esrog upside down. Okay, so what do? You hold it. And you have kavana not to be yotze. Kavana is enough. Or you leave it on the table. Put the knife on the table. Don't touch the knife. Right? So you have to all three together. You got to hold the esrog upside down. Have kavana not to be yotze. One is enough. So why does a woman have to do two things? Close your eyes, and also motion with your hands. I don't want to be nene from the light. Close your eyes, it's enough. Or just go like this. Why do you have to do all three together? So he suggests it's two different things. Closing your eyes is, I don't want to be nene from the Or HaNer. When a woman goes like this, it's an expression equivalent to men in shul Friday night, turning around by Boi V'Shalom, we're now here to be Mekabel the Shabbos. Moving their hands is an expression, basically they should go like this. Come. Instead of going like this, it would appear, according to Yaakov Kamenetsky, which is just a theory, is that basically maybe that's how it started. Come. We're greeting you. Mekabel you. Okay, women don't know what they're doing today. And you go look at somebody, what are they doing exactly? They don't even know what they're doing. So we invent, don't start up with the women. Don't start with the women. Boy, you'll get clobbered. So we invent, they go like this to shelter their eyes from seeing the light. Really? Where does it say that? If that's the tradition, we accept it. But it could be that's not what it was about. It really was an expression of embracement. Embracement. Come Shabbos. Come. We're embracing you. Kabbalah Shabbos. Because with the lighting of the candles is Kabbalah Shabbos. And then she does that first. And then she makes the bracha. Now here's the other thing. Here's the other very important consequence. Many women, it's a beautiful minhag, they have a minhag that after they light candles, it's very, very important, he writes over here, they daven. They mispalo. They're beautiful, techinos, tfilos, sidurim, there are a lot of things nashim have. It's a very holy moment. It's a holy moment to be mispalo at the time when the Mekabel Shabbos. Now he says something very important. He says, before a woman says those tfilos, she should first open up her eyes, at least for a moment, and look at the neiros, and enjoy the benefit of the light, so it shouldn't be a bracha levatola. It's not a bracha levatola, but you're making a bracha, oyver la'asiyasa. And some women, they're very devout. They make the bracha, and right away, their eyes remain closed, and they're saying shramalis, they're davening, or they're holding a sitter, and they never even looked at the neiros. They lit the neiros. Oh, I see the neiros. Okay. But my kavana is not to be yoytze the mitzvah with lighting the candles because I didn't make the bracha yet. It's the wrong procedure. Right? When you make the bracha, you mekabel Shabbos. So that comes at a price because now I have to do the mitzvah in the reverse order. I have to first light the candles and now I make the bracha. But after you make the bracha, now is the time to be nene, to enjoy the benefit of the light. That's why you made a bracha. I made a bracha lahalik ner shel Shabbos. So now I want to be nene from the ner Shabbos. So open up your eyes immediately after you make the bracha to be nene from the Or Shabbos, at least for a second. And now you continue to be mispalel and to recite various tefillos and tchinos, each according to their custom. It's a mistake for a woman to make the bracha and immediately, without even glancing at the neros, to immediately proceed and be mispala. She has the sitter, she makes the bracha. After make the bracha, you look up at the neros, and then you can put your head back into the sitter and you can be mispala the remainder of the bracha. Also, it's very important not to talk. Okay, when a woman lights candles, between the lighting of the candles, you see this sometimes, women are lighting candles, they're talking. They're lighting candles, they're talking. And after they finish, they finish lighting all the candles, and then they're still talking to someone. And then, Baruch Atah Hashem, they make the bracha. That's incorrect. There should not be any hefsek between the lighting of the candles and the bracha. Even though we normally think that when you make a bracha, you don't want to be mafsik after the bracha until you do the mitzvah. And here, we're doing it in the reverse order, it doesn't matter. Being that the two are connected, and you have no choice, you have to first light the candles and then make the bracha, there should be no speaking between the lighting of the candles and making of the bracha. We're out of time, we'll take a very short break. We're talking about grain.